If you've got your Bibles with you, you may want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And Trish has got that back there. I'm going to read half a verse before what she has up there to start us off with. I'm going to read the latter part of verse 5, where it says this, "Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." And I said that because the next verse starts with therefore. And I'm sure you've been taught, as I have, when you see the word therefore, look back and see what it's there for. Well, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, if that's the case, we better figure out whom he may devour. And how does that devouring take place? So I want to think about it a minute. Who is eligible or who is open for the devil to devour? And at a certain level, every one of us, saved or unsaved, is open for the devil to devour. Now, does God hold us safe? Yes. But our cooperation with everything that God's trying to do in our lives often determines the details of our lives. And if we consciously or subconsciously cooperate with what it is the devil's trying to do to bring about destruction in our lives, then we will suffer some destruction. It's important that we understand the tactics of the enemy. How many of you guys that were in the military have been deployed to a combat zone? James has, Alvy has, Colin has. It's important to know a lot of things when you go into a combat zone. You need to know all the stuff you learn in basic about how your army operates and what your tactics are and how to use your weapons, and all those things are basic knowledge, right? But if you're going to be deployed into a combat zone, somebody needs to tell you how the enemy operates so you can watch out for him. You know, before we went into Vietnam, we never saw an enemy who dug rat holes in the ground and popped out of them to kill you. Maybe a little bit the end of World War II in the South Pacific, but not so much. You know, we never saw tactics like IEDs until we started to go into the Middle East in the 90s and afterwards. There were, you know, tactics change, methods change, weapons change. What do you need to watch out for? What do you need to be prepared for? What's that key that you might catch out of the corner of your eye that will prevent you from ending up in a body bag somewhere? Well, the same thing is true in our Christian walk. Now, the devil has used the same basic tactics since before creation. When he seduced a third of the angels to follow him in rebellion in heaven, he used basically the same tactics that he tries to use on you today. But he clothes them in different garbs. They look a little different. The details might be different. Same basic tactics, but the details are different. So you often heard it taught on this package or this passage of Scripture, that the devil might devour those that react in fear. Because, you know, let's go to what a roaring lion does. Why does a lion roar when they are about to attack their prey? It freezes them. There is a thing called infrasound, which is an extremely low-pitched sound that kind of scrambles your ability to think and react, and maybe even what you see and what you hear. It messes with your mind. And when the lion roars, the gazelle is likely to freeze just long enough for the lion to lick his chops and commence having dinner. Well, the devil does that with us too. Sometimes he roars. Sometimes he tries to paralyze us with fear or with uncertainty or with other things. But the other tactic is this. Sometimes he's a stealth predator. Sometimes he sits silently by until you walk by unaware and you never know what hit you from the back. That's the way the devil works. He does that, and we've often heard that a fear reaction or a freezing reaction or inaction is the people that the devil can begin to devour, according to this passage. But I tell you, it goes even deeper than that. Let me tell you who else the devil can devour. The devil can devour the spiritually ignorant. Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." One of the items of the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6 is the belt of truth, right? Helmet of salvation, belt of truth. If we don't know who we are in Christ, what we are entitled to do, the basic training items of what are the weapons of our warfare and how to employ them, if we are ignorant of those facts, whether we haven't had the opportunity to learn them, or we have chosen not to learn them or to forget them, or because we don't understand them, we don't know how to employ them. If we are ignorant of the truth that combats the work of the enemy, then we can easily fall prey to the enemy. The devil can devour the prayerless. What is prayer? Prayer at its basic heart is conversation with God, but what then is the content of that prayer? You know, we can pray, "Can I give me, will you?" and never pray, "Lord, give me guidance, make me wise, give me the strength to get by, show me what pitfalls I'm preparing to fall into." If we don't have that kind of conversation with God, we may as well be prayerless. If the extent of our prayer life is give God your Christmas list and say amen and go back to your life, you are prayerless as far as Scripture is concerned. And that makes you weak. Why does it make you weak? Well, first of all, you're not syncing up with the one who empowers you. And secondly, you're taking today's intelligence report that says the enemy is going to attack you in this area, you need to be strengthened here, and you're not reading the intelligence report. You're not getting your daily briefing. You're not getting the information you need to get by today. If we are prayerless, we will be powerless. It's a truth that has always been in existence. If we're not tied in with God in an intimate conversational way, we will be operating in our own strength and wisdom. And the Bible very clearly tells us that our strength and wisdom is totally inadequate. We can't do it. Who else can the devil devour, and how does he do it? He can devour the distracted. We're walking around with our ear pods in and our eyes half closed, and we don't see the big hole we're about to fall into because we're distracted. We don't take time to listen to God. Matter of fact, we put Him on hold until our TV show's over. We're distracted. There are so many squirrel. Watching my beagle in the backyard the other day, and he'd been out doing his beagle thing, and I called him to come in the house, and he started to make a beeline for the house, and he caught rabbit scent. His plan changed like that, right? He became distracted, and if you've ever had a beagle, you know that when their nose turns on, every other sense in their body turns off. They can't hear, they can't think, they can't see, nose is on, that's it. Well, Christians, we're like that, right? Whatever we're concentrating on right now, everything else goes dim. We're focused on whatever it is. The TV show, the song we're singing, the task we're doing, whatever we think God, whatever we want God to do for us, we're forgetting everything else that he's trying to tell us. Oh, by the way, before you do that, I need you to... No. Right? So the devil can devour the ignorant, the prayerless, the distracted, the unprepared. If you go into an athletic contest, you need to be prepared, right? You need to practice. You need to know what the game plan is. You need to know what the techniques are. You need to know all these things that are going on. If you're going into a business meeting, the same thing. If you're going to start a project at your house, you need to plan it first. You need to be proficient with your tools or your weapons. And that requires, of course, practice. If we are unprepared, Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, right? For the armor of God to be effective, you must first do what to it? Put it on. If it's on the rack in the corner, ain't doing you much good, is it? You've got to be prepared. You've got to put on the armor. You have got to sharpen the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which means you've got to be familiar with it and able to wield it like a samurai sword. You need to be proficient. So if we are unprepared when the devil attacks us, we will fall victim to what he's trying to do. Or at least we'll suffer a whole lot of damage trying to get out of the way. So the devil can devour the ignorant, the prayerless, the distracted, the unprepared, the deceived. The devil operates under a false flag premise. He wants to give you false knowledge. He wants to convince you that what the world says is right. He wants to convince you that what the cults say is right. He wants to convince you that all of these things, all this wisdom of humanity, is righter than the wisdom of God. It's a lie. I believe the Scripture says that he is a liar and the father of lies. Does it not? If there's somebody in your life that you know that there was not a word to come out of their mouth that has ever been true in the entire time you know them, you're going to take advice from them? Well, why in the world are we listening to the world, the flesh, and the devil then? Because every one of those things will lie to you. It is their nature, it is their purpose, it is the intent of their author to deceive you and to bring you into destruction. But yet we sell out on false knowledge. I have got 4 university degrees. One of them is a doctor of divinity, and I have decided that based on my extensive study that the Bible's been edited to the point that it's just foolishness. But my college professor, everything he says is true. The world that tells us that it's wrong that God created them male and female, that's foolishness. There's 37 different genders. I've lived 68 years. I have found that not to be true. False knowledge. Anybody done any Google searches and found AI stuff that pops up? Don't take it for granted. Because that artificial intelligence is definitely artificial, and a lot of it's not intelligence. I am a student of old, like World War II warships. And I have these things pop up all the time. Well, here's a picture of this ship at this time. And I'm sitting there looking at it and said, that is not a World War II ship. That's from the Spanish-American War. You know, that's about 40 years out of date. You know, but the AI says that that's what it is. Now, if you go blindly and believe it, what else are you buying off on? That's one example. You know, I have found a few good articles that were popped up by the Google AI bot. But I assure you this, I always vet it and check it out. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to take it for granted. And oh, by the way, sometimes your friends have another agenda. We know the devil has a different agenda. We know the cults have a different agenda. There's all sorts of things out there that try to deceive you with false knowledge. There is one source of truth, and that is the Creator of this universe and His revelation through His holy written word and through His holy living Son and His Spirit that indwells the Christian believer. That is where you get truth. If you get truth from any other place, you are subject to being deceived. So the devil can devour the ignorant, the prayerless, the distracted, the unprepared, the deceived, and the emotional. How many know your emotions are real? You feel what you feel. But here's the thing. They were never meant to be in the driver's seat. They were meant to be on the dashboard, one of them little flashing lights that says, hey, something's wrong. That's what your emotions are for. Like a fire alarm on the wall. Hey, something's wrong. Or, hey, something's right. Your emotions will deceive you. Your emotions will unbalance you. Anybody ever been in a fist fight? The easiest person to defeat is the one whose emotions get away from him, because he's going to be wildly doing things and he will drop his guard and you can cold cock him. The devil does that to you. You get your emotions in a tizzy, and it's like I was talking about the beagle with his nose. Your emotions are turned on, your logic and your reason and your sensibility and your control is turned off because your emotions are turned on. Whether it's you're madly in love with somebody or you want to break every bone in their body. When your emotions take control, you no longer... listen to what I just said. When your emotions take control, you are out of control. Somebody else is done driving. And if you let that happen to you, and particularly in a spiritual fight, the devil will eat your lunch. You don't think about guarding your back. You don't think about keeping your defense up, and somebody, you know, he spiritually clocks you right in the jaw. You lose control. By definition, you have given control to your emotions. Now, as I said, your emotions are real. They are indicators. They are warning lights. I'm angry. Why am I angry? I'm depressed. Why am I depressed? I'm elated. Why am I elated? I am starry-eyed in love. Why am I starry-eyed in love? Don't turn your brain off and don't turn the Holy Spirit off in the midst of those situations, because your emotions will lead you down a difficult path. Now, those are ways the devil's going to attack you. How do we stand against it? That scripture says, resist the devil. Wait a minute. Resist him steadfast in faith. Resist him. How do we resist the devil? Could I borrow the brothers Smallwood for a minute? You guys come up. The brothers Smallwood. You're both football players, right? All right. You are a defensive lineman. You are an offensive lineman. All right. You're trying to get in sack quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. All right. He's trying to stop you. Just don't hurt each other. Show us what that looks like. And when I say freeze, freeze, okay? Hut! Stop. Okay. Now, couple things. What did you see in operation there? Strength, right? Balance, all that's important. Technique, you know. There may have been a little holding going on there, but I'm not sure. I didn't have. It's the replay official. Technique and confidence, right? All right. Now I want to try, you know, just kind of like that with each other for a minute. I want you to look at something. Look where their feet are. Got feet wide apart. Balance, right? Now, I'm going to try something here. Put your feet together, heel to toe. Move him. No balance, right? Christians are so often unbalanced in their thinking, in their understanding, in their emotional makeup. We couldn't resist if we tried. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Strength. In our case, we're talking about spiritual strength because contending against the devil very rarely has a physical component to it, although it can. But it is primarily a truth encounter. Our spiritual truth overcomes the enemy's spiritual lie. You ever see Jesus wrestle with a demon? What'd he do? Come out of him, right? It was a truth encounter. Demon said, I know who you are. I know you win if we struggle. I'm out of here. There was that one time they negotiated, and it didn't turn out that good for them either at that point in time. But spiritual strength is based on spiritual truth, and that all comes from God, doesn't it? All right, balance. Remember what I was saying about emotions and how they unbalance you? Your false understanding of false doctrines and things like that, the lies that you've embraced, they unbalance you. And you saw how easy the unbalanced person was pushed out of the way. Right? That happens to us spiritually. We get unbalanced, and it's pretty easy for the devil to do a swim move and sack the quarterback. Doesn't take much. Technique. Those guys have had enough football practice. They know how to block, and they know how to make the block ineffective. They've worked on it. Somebody, somewhere, taught them how to do that. Some of it comes naturally, but by and large, your technique comes from who it is that trains you. Who'd you guys learn from? You learn from your coaches? Who else did you learn from? Dad, okay. Did you learn from other players with more experience? Christian. Who do we learn technique from? We learn it from the coach who is God through Jesus through the Holy Spirit and through His written word and through the people that stand and explain His word. I'm doing a little coaching this morning. We learn that, but we also learn through people who have been through the trenches and been through the war. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hey, been there, done that, beat that demon, let me tell you what I did. Been there, done that, I was addicted, let me tell you how I got unaddicted. Been there, done that, I was in a bad relationship, let me tell you how I got out of it. Been there, done that, couldn't understand Scripture. Let me tell you where the breakthrough came. You hear what I'm saying, church? We got to be strong in the truth of God. We got to be balanced so that we can react however we need to react. We got to have the right techniques that are taught to us by the Scripture, by the coach, and by our peers. And we got to have the confidence to use it. You walk up the first time to do something and you've never done it before, probably don't have a whole lot of confidence. But as you build a track record, you can have more and more confidence. When you learned from old Joe, who's been through the war, and you know that he has become victorious, you can be confident in the fact that he taught me what worked for him. And if I just do what he told me to do, then maybe I can prevail too. Confidence is important. If we're going to stand against the devil, we got to have that spiritual strength, which is rooted in the truth. We got to have balance, which means we're able to react and do whatever. You know, if we had continued this demonstration and I suggested straight on, left, right, do something, you know, take a step back and fake him so he falls down and you run around him. We you know, everything's adaptable, right? You learn by experience, you learn by doing it, and you learn confidence because you trust your source. Resistance requires effort. One of these guys stood passively by and let the other one just be the aggressor, domination would have happened. If we stand passively by and just assume the devil's going to go around us instead of running over us, be prepared to be laying on your back in the mud because you're going to get run over. We've got to apply effort. We've got to apply effort to learn the truth, to achieve balance, to learn the techniques, and to practice enough that we're confident in what it is that we're doing. But here's the most important thing. We got to have trust in our source. There's a wonderful, wonderful churchy word that we use for that. It's called faith. And we don't have faith in the preacher. We don't have faith in the church or the denomination. We have faith in the source of all things, which is God the Father. And He has demonstrated that through Christ the Son and through the Holy Spirit who indwells believers. We've got to have that faith and belief that God's way will do it. We trust God's strength, His wisdom, and His truth, all of which comes only from Him. He is the source. I hope this morning, I trust, that maybe you can see things a little more clearly today. Because the challenges are going to come. And sometimes the challenges come from the devil who is trying to trip you up and destroy you. Other times challenges come from the coach who wants to make you stronger. Well, let's see, I've watched the tape. And he is vulnerable if you fake right and go left. He doesn't catch up real good. So we need to practice that. We need to practice choosing the right scriptural sword of the Spirit to defeat your particular weak area. We need to practice that. So we're going to challenge you in this area. We'll allow challenges to come to you in this area so that you can practice and get strong enough to resist it when the real attack comes. We've got to put effort into it. Christianity is not passive. There are two major fallacies in the modern church world. One is, I got to move and do stuff before God does anything. So therefore, my will and my choice and everything I do, you know, it's primary that I do it first. And then there's the other half of the world sitting over there. So, well, I reckon if God wants it done, He'll do it. I'm just going to sit here. He'll pick me up when He drives by. Newsflash. Both wrong. God provides the plan. God provides the resources. God provides the opportunities. You provide the effort. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It is not passive. You can come in here on a Sunday morning and read those words. You might even say them. You can listen to some people play instruments and sing. But if it's not coming from that point in you that Christ dwells in, you're flapping your gums and wasting your breath. Worship comes from inside, and it is a sacrifice. I am putting myself out of the way and giving everything that I am to God. My priorities aren't important, God, yours are. It's not important whether I'm comfortable right now. It's important to your God, and I'm not. Take that any place in your life and apply it. We're going to share the Lord's Supper at the conclusion of the service. Before we do that, we need to go into a time of prayer. If you can this morning, stand with me. Father God, as we come to you today, we acknowledge the fact that maybe we have not taken responsibility for our own lives. And we acknowledge the fact, God, that while you're trying to train us up and make us effective against the world, the flesh, and the devil, that maybe we haven't been on board with the training program. God, we might have been deceived. We might have believed a lie. We might have been lied to. We might have been passive when we were supposed to be active. We might have allowed ourselves to remain ignorant of the truth. God, our prayer life isn't what it should be. We're easily distracted. We haven't prepared. And we let our emotions drive us. God, we repent. Repent doesn't mean we're sorry, Lord. It means we choose your truth over our lies and decide to go your way. And we acknowledge the fact that we are broken, we are poor, and we are weak in and of ourselves. But we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We are a kingdom of priests because of what Jesus did, if we choose to follow. We acknowledge, God, that we have been passive when we should have been actively pursuing you. And we ask, God, that you light a new fire in us today to be passionate to pursue you, to be strong in you, to be wise in you, to be effective in you. Because that is the only place that we can achieve victory in Jesus, our Savior, forever. So, Father, we come to you today and we acknowledge that you are God and we are not. We acknowledge, God, that you are God and the world system is not. The government is not. The colleges and universities are not. The media is not. Our friends and family are not God. You are. We acknowledge, God, that we are powerless without you, and we crave the intimacy with you that makes us more than conquerors. We ask it all in Jesus' name.